and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your host, me, Raylene, and...
Me, it's Ariel.
So, here we are, once again. We had a bit of a mishap just now, and my recording was not working, so just for full disclosure, Ariel was telling a story, and then I screwed it all up. So, please, take us away with your story. I asked Ariel how she was doing, and then it sparked a story.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode. Gosh, a real good start here.
Yep.
Basically, I had two exciting bookish things that happened in my life, and I wanted to tell you all about them. And by exciting, I mean absolutely non-important. The first one is that I got dizzy while walking and reading at the same time. And I just thought it was so funny that I wanted to tell you guys. I don't even know why, but basically, I got like an email alert that one of the books I ordered was delivered to my post box. So I was like, okay, sick. So I walked with my boyfriend down to the post box, and I was so excited about it that I like opened it on the way back. It's literally like a 3-minute walk. On the way back, I opened it and I started reading the synopsis on the back of the book to him. And he, you know, we were just chatting about it. But as I was reading it, I could feel myself getting nauseous. I could feel myself getting dizzy, and I like closed one eye to keep reading, like
to try and close down my senses.
I know, and it's so dumb. I think basically I was thinking like, no, this can't be happening. This is so ridiculous. Like, who gets nauseous while reading and walking? That's so dumb. Come on, Ariel, you're stronger than that. And then I got home and had to lay down for half an hour because I was so dizzy.
Oh my god.
So I'm notoriously very car sick. I just get really nauseous quite easily, so I guess that's another thing that makes me nauseous.
I think the thing is, you just have to focus on where you're going, not like looking at something else, no matter what type of motion it is.
I know. I wish I understood it, but I don't. The other piece of bookish personal aerial news is it's very exciting, and it requires just a little bit of backstory.
Okay.
So basically, I think maybe I've talked about this on the podcast, but basically, I used to read a lot, and then it all went to hell. Basically, when I was, you know, a teenager and in my early undergrad, I would read like 50-ish books a year, 52, 54, whatever, around 50-ish books a year. And that felt like a very comfortable place for me, Raylene. I was like, this is normal for me. But then I studied abroad in 2015. And that year, I was like, for 6 months, basically, traveling Europe. And I wasn't really reading because I was so busy. And I was like, that's okay. I'll just read lots when I get home. One bad year of reading. What the heck when you're having adventures, right?
Yeah.
But what actually happened, it was deeper. It was deeper than that.
Okay. Because
what happened was I lost the habit of how to read a lot. And so 2015, I read 25 books. 2016, 22 books. 2017, 28 books. I thought I was going back up, but then in 2018, back down to 22 books. 2019, 26 books. I have been trapped in this 20s range.
Whoa.
And like, okay, let's be very clear. Obviously, I'm not saying like, if you only read 20 books a year, you don't read very much. Or if you only read 5 books, it doesn't matter. But we all have these ranges, right? That we're like, we want to read our what means a lot to us. And it used to be 50. And now I'm like, barely, in my opinion, like reading not very much, like a book every 2 weeks. I'm like, that's not very good. Mm-hmm. So like I stated back, 2017 was the closest I ever got to something, and it was 28. Well, I have officially read 28 books. So
you're on track to get to 50 for sure.
Exactly. We're only halfway through the year and I've already read 28 books. So I'm really excited about it because I just feel like something that has slipped away from me, the amount of reading I used to do, has come back, and I feel really good about it. So anyway, these are just some personal notes I just wanted to share with everyone.
That's
we also
really
have
cool,
some important podcasting notes, some cool stuff. So first of all, we wanted to mention Dig, our book club. Dig is happening,
yes.
And we'd love to get your voicemail messages for that episode. So send them to us by, I almost said December, gosh, by July 16th. Send us an email where the subject line is just like Dig voice clip in all caps and just a 30-second or less clip with any thought that you had about the book, a question you have for us, and we will reply and listen to those live when we record our special book club episode. So don't miss out on that. The other thing is that on Sunday, Raylene and I did our Patreon live read-in once a month for our patrons. We do this like read-in, where it's like a live show where we all hang out and read together and answer questions. And somebody was like, I forget who, my apologies, but somebody was like, instead of Facebook, can we actually do a Discord group? And I was like, okay, heck, I don't know what the people want, so I'll put it to a vote. And the patrons all came out and voted, and by a long margin, by a large margin, they voted for a Discord group. So we now have a Discord group for our patrons, which is another place that you can, like, do the book club stuff, but also just chat about the latest episodes and, like, get to know the Books Unbound community. So if you want to be a part of that, head on over to our Patreon, or our Patreon, at patreon.com/booksunbound. We're doing lots of cool stuff over there. Especially because in 2 weeks, I think, but like when you're listening to this, 1 week from
it's gonna be so soon.
I know. Raylene is coming to my house for a week to do the reading rush, because we host it together and it's just a lot better when we're in the same place. And we're gonna be trying to do loads of special Books Unbound stuff. So we're going to record our normal episode as a video, and so that'll go up on the Patreon, and we've got a couple like special little things we're going to be doing for the Patreon and just generally for our listeners. So we're really excited. Actually, I posted a photo on the Instagram of you and me. It's the first time we ever showed up in our own feed. It was kind of controversial, but I wanted to do it because we looked really cute. In that photo, I asked, or in the caption, I asked people to give suggestions for things they'd like us to do while we're together. So if you have a suggestion and you'd like, you're like, oh, I really want you guys to do this tag on the podcast or something, let us know, or something specifically that we can do together. And the final note that I'm going to do, gosh, there's all this stuff at the top, I don't know, is we wanted to say a beautiful, friendly goodbye to Holly. Holly, for the last, like, 6 months has been basically our community manager. She's run our Patreon and helped us, like, upload the episodes and stuff, and she's been really helpful to making this a nice tight ship. And she got a full-time job, and so she left. But there's no hard feelings, no drama. Someone messaged me and they're like, I hope everything's okay. And I was like, oh, it's totally fine. I'm like, cool. It's just she got a real job. So yes, hopefully in the next week I will be onboarding a new person, and we'll say hello to them in the next episode once they're all ready and signed up and stuff. But we just wanted to say a heartfelt goodbye to Holly for helping us all this time and for being a part of the Books Unbound family.
Yes, made it very easy for us. We have to do much work at all.
Well, those were all of my personal notes and the podcast notes.
Oh, good. All right. So with all of that out of the way, our new first question. What was the last book you finished?
Well, I actually finished two books this week.
Oh.
I reread Sheets by Brenna Thumler.
Yes.
So I just love this book, and I was like, you know what? I should reread it. I miss it. It's so nice. It's so beautiful. I read a couple graphic novels lately. That were good, but not as good as Sheets, and it kind of made me miss Sheets. So I was like, I'm going to jump back into this one. I know I've talked about it a lot on the podcast, so I won't go too far into it, but it's a book about a girl named Marjorie who works at a laundromat. Oh, this is a question for you, Raylene. Do you say laundromat or launderette?
Laundromat for sure. What is launderette? Ew, I don't like that.
So I think that I mainly said laundrette growing up, and then I saw that most people were saying laundromat, so I switched to saying laundromat, but they're both kind of in my vocabulary, and it turns out that England still uses laundrette.
Oh, I see. And I was like, I've never really heard anyone say that.
And then the U.S. uses laundromat, and this is one of those situations where depending where you grew up in Canada, you're either doing the British thing or the American thing, which is such a, like, a Canadian thing, that you're, like, I don't know how, some of our language is very Americanized and still some of it is very Britishized. Or maybe I should say it's all Canadianized, guys. But anyways, yeah, so she works at this laundromat, Raylene, don't worry. And she, her mom passed away, like, you can see that it's like a couple of months right before the book started.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of maintaining the laundromat. Her dad has become very depressed and isn't working, and she has a little brother that she's taking care of, so she's just, like, so stressed and overwhelmed. And then in comes Wendell, a little ghost. And he's a sheet, and he sees all this other laundry hanging in the laundromat. And he's like, hey, it's like me. And so that's why I think he kind of goes in there. It's just a really touching tale. And rereading it, it made me realize that my hype the first time was not overhype. It was perfect hype, because this book is beautiful. And I can't believe you haven't read it yet, Rylene, because you really have to.
I need someone to give me a copy or something. I don't know. Maybe seriously. I'll read it during the reading rush.
That's what I was just thinking. You totally could, and just borrow it while you're here.
Yeah, why the heck not? I'll just read all your books. That'll be my TBR. I'll just pick books off of your shelves.
The other book I finished was the book I talked about last week, 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now by Jaron Lanier. Or it's pronounced Lanier, I now know, because I've also now watched approximately 15 interviews with him on YouTube.
Well, of course.
I absolutely loved this book. I cannot recommend it enough. This is a case where I actually think that the title of the book is a bit of a detriment to it. I think maybe casual readers that don't read that much, maybe it's the perfect title for them, actually. Like, if you just, like, walk into chapters and you see that, you instantly know what it's about and stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
But for people who, like, read a lot, I think that you read so much more into a title, and that title's a bit, it's a bit cheesy, you know?
Yeah.
And so I really wouldn't want anyone to think that it is a cheesy book. It is outstandingly fascinating and thought-provoking. I mean, it is what it's called. It's Jaron Lanier is this, or Lanier. Because I trained myself to say his name just by reading it. Jaron Lanier is this guy who's been, like, working in Silicon Valley since Silicon Valley started. He's the guy who's, coined the term virtual reality.
Oh, wow.
He's done so much pioneering work in tech. He loves tech. He loves technology. But he loves good technology. He loves technology that makes the world a better place. And in his opinion, and in my opinion, everyone, in his opinion, social media is not good technology. So he lists these 10 reasons, and really compelling, thought-provoking reasons, why, you know, social media, you should delete it. And even if you don't delete it, even if you don't, like, read this book thinking, yes, I just need something to push me over the edge so I can delete it, I think that you should read it just to think about how you use these platforms.
Yeah.
Do you know, really? Like, that's, like, one of the things. I'm like, I'm not about to delete my social, or, like, all of my socials. I'm not going to delete YouTube and stuff. He's also very anti-Google, which is interesting because I never thought about Google as a social media, but Google tracks you so fucking hard. It tracks everything that you click on and everything that you do, and they're allowed to read your emails if you use Gmail. You know what I mean? So, like,
yeah, it's creepy.
So he's kind of like, how is that any different than a social media data wise? And I was like, nope, it's good, sir. You have a good point. But yeah, so I'm like, I'm not about to delete my Gmail account, and I'm not about to delete my, like, YouTube and stuff, but even if that's the case, it's just so much better that you have the information, you know, and you're thinking about how these platforms are using you and how you are using them and how they're affecting your brain. And he talks about so many different aspects too, which I really liked, like how social media is affecting politics and how social media is affecting truth because of fake news and stuff like that. So it's kind of personal. Like, one of them is like how social media is affecting your soul. So it's kind of like more emotional, but then also politics. So it was just very interesting. It was very short. The audiobook is like 4.5 hours long. It's read by a really great narrator. It's not the author, but which was weird. Okay, here's what was weird, Raylene. I listened to the audiobook, right? Read by this random, like, narrator guy who's doing a great job. And then I hadn't finished it yet. I still had like an hour left of the book, and I started watching videos of Jaron Lanier, and I was like really into this cool, weird, very strange man. And then I went back to finish the audiobook, and it was weird to me that it was weird. But the narrator is great, and like I said, it's really short. You'll read through it really quickly, so I super recommend it. And I'm frustrated because I put myself on a book buying ban for this month, Raylene. I've just bought too many books lately.
Yeah, me too.
And so I decided to just, like, just for July, not buy any books. I can go back in August. I just want to calm down a little bit with it, because I've been a bit click happy on that pay button with bookstores lately. But now I really want a physical copy of 10 things, or 10 reasons, and I'm just like...
But at least there's no rush to get it, because you've already
I've
read it, right?
I've read it. Yeah, so totally.
You can get it when you get it. You can get it next month. You'll be fine. Just...
Okay.
Just calm down.
Well, what have you... Well, you know the reason why I feel a little bit of pressure to get it? Is because, remember in one of our Books on Bucket episodes for our patrons, we talked about, like, categories we'd create on our shelves.
Oh, yeah.
Right, if we had unlimited shelving space, like, what different categories? Now I want to create a section, because I've started quite a collection of books about the internet.
That's
and I
true.
Really just want to add that to it and, like, mm-hmm. start it. But no, you're right. I also want to make a video about it, being like books. But I'm trying to keep justifying. I keep trying to justify it.
You need to.
I was talking to.
You gotta stop.
I was talking to our pal Austin, who is our web developer for the Reading Rush, and he found out I'm a Libra, and he's also a Libra, and he like really called me out on my impulse buying, and I was like, "You're speaking the goddamn truth, my friend.
You're not wrong." Well, I finished 3 books actually.
Oh wow!
Two of them Good that job. I talked about last week. So I finished Parable of the Sower by Octavia E. Butler. Mm-hmm. And I was disappointed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn. You know what that means?
What?
I know it shouldn't mean this, but what that means is that I am now not going to pick that up as soon as I probably will.
I thought you were going to say that you were going to read it and love it.
No. No, I mean that it's probably now going to be like years before I pick that up. Just
yeah.
because I'll keep thinking, Raylene did like Severance. I'll read that pandemic book.
Right? It's just tricky because like, I don't know, there was something about the writing, I guess, that just didn't click with me because I was really interested in, like, the characters and this kind of community that they were living in, and the whole situation was very intriguing to me, and I liked how dark and intense it was.
Yeah.
But it just felt like it was 1,000 pages long. Like, it was just
and
really...
And I hate that.
Yeah,
I hate
like,
it when it dries.
I just didn't feel like picking it up, and when I did pick it up, I would read maybe, like, 10 pages before putting it down. Like, I just never felt like I needed to read it. So
yeah.
it took me a really long time to get through, and I ended up listening to the audiobook for the last half of it or
okay.
so, and that helped me get through it and made it a little more engaging, but it was just not what I wanted it to be, so I will not be picking up the sequel because I don't care about Lauren and her story at all anymore. I'm over it, so yeah, so that happened.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, but then after that, I wanted to read something that would be a little bit quicker and that I know would be good, and that was March Book 3 by John Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
So I've now completed the trilogy.
Cool, wow.
Yeah, so they were really, really good. They're books that I now want to get my hands on, but I'll wait.
Yeah.
I don't need them right now. I just read them. It'll be okay. But yeah, I highly recommend them for anyone who's looking to even just learn a little bit about the civil rights movement. Like me, I knew basically nothing, so reading these graphic novels was very informative and, like, shocking and sad and, you know, wonderful all in one package. Like, it it really teaches you a lot, so highly recommend those. That one was the highlight of my reading week for sure. But the third book I read was the audiobook for Queenie that I was listening to last month.
Right.
Or last
right
week.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was great. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's there's a blurb on, I don't know who blurbed it, but it said that it was like Bridget Jones meets Americana, and I was like, that is 100% true, because it's like a perfect balance of like silly British woman just like fluffing about through her life, not really knowing what she's doing and being very silly, and like just the way she talks to her friends is so funny. But then on the other hand, there's like, she's very, you know, she goes through serious stuff as a black woman living in the UK, and she, like, talks about the Black Lives Matter movement, and she's dealing with a lot of different issues. Like, she has mental health issues that kind of pop up later on in the book. So it seems very lighthearted and funny, but then it also has these really intense moments and topics that are addressed. And so, yeah, it's a lot darker than it looks to be on the surface. So just know that going in if you're going to read it. But it is simultaneously very funny and lighthearted. So it kind of has it all. So I really liked it. It wasn't what I was expecting at all, but it was really good. So,
gosh.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm really glad you enjoyed it. Well, it was a real mixed bag for you this week.
Yes, it was very strange. So we'll see. Hopefully my other books that I'm reading are better. So what are you reading then? I have no idea.
A great question. A wonderful question. I'm excited by this question. So, I'll tell you what I'm not reading.
Okay.
I'm not reading A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor by Hank Green because my copy did not arrive.
No.
That book was released today. It came out today on July 7th, and it was supposed to be delivered today.
Yeah.
And the app kept saying it would arrive today by 2 o'clock, and 2 o'clock came and went, and the book was not here. So I'm trying to bottle up my sadness. However, I'm kind of taking it as a sign because I hadn't finished rereading An Absolutely Remarkable Thing anyway, so even if I'd gotten it, I wouldn't have started it. I just am sad because I was really excited to see the pretty book and stuff. Yeah. But regardless, I am still reading An Absolutely Remarkable Thing. I'm really hoping to finish this in the next few days so that I can jump into A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor because I'm so excited about it. But there's another thing that I'm reading.
Uh-oh.
And this will shock and surprise. I actually don't know what your reaction's going to be to this.
Okay.
I have started, and by started I literally mean I'm on like page 3, but nice. Tonight I have to get to page 50. Yeah, I have started Dune. By
oh,
Frank
no.
Herbert.
Did Connor assign that to you? Is he no. making you read it?
Okay. So, as people may recall, Raylene tried reading Dune a few months ago and it just did not work out. She did not enjoy it. She DNF'd it, which I totally respect. However, this was a book I was really excited to read for two reasons. One, and the main reason, is that the movie is coming out in December, unless COVID changes that, but it's supposed to come out in December. It stars like a really great cast, including Timothée Chalamet, who I'll admit is so cool. I'm into him. I'll admit that. So I'm really, the main reason I'm excited about that movie is because he's in it. But yeah, I really want to go into this movie like having read the book. I just think it's going to be such a giant, expansive movie that having read the book will probably just be so much more exciting. So I really want to do that. But the second reason is it's like one of my boyfriend's favorite books. And so I'd love to give it a shot. However, it's fucking massive.
Uh-huh. I was just going to say another reason to read it is it's one of your big books, right? Was this one of the ones you chose?
I was going to add that, but you're totally right. So the book is like over 600 pages. And it is one of the books I challenged myself to read at the beginning of the year as one of my big book challenges. And so I'm finally getting around to it. I made this new friend. Her name is Noelle. Hi, Noelle. and I saw that she had Dune on her TBR for the year as well. So I messaged her and I was like, hey, do you want a buddy read this? And honestly, it was terrible timing because, like, obviously this week I'm, like, reading A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor. And, like, in 2 weeks it's the reading rush.
Yeah.
I don't really know what I was thinking. It was terrible planning. But I'm just like, you know what? When's it ever going to be perfect? It's not. So I'm just going to go for it. So we've broken it up. It's probably going to take me like a month to read this boy. And I'm committed to finishing it just because, like I said, the movie and my boyfriend, I want to be able to read it even if I don't really like it. I don't know. Maybe I'll love it.
I'm really interested to see your thoughts on this because I feel like it's so not your type of book.
I know. I agree. Like literally, like I said, I'm only on like page 3 or something, but I was on page 1 and it's... I just am no good at reading fantasy, but it was starting and it's talking about like, okay, like the place is called Arrakis, and that night at Castle Caladan, there was an ancient pile of stone that had served the Atreides family. It's like all of these like, you know, very fantasy names where it's like all these made up names.
And that just keeps
the main
on
characters
going.
No, I know, but the main character is called Paul.
Oh, that's the best part.
I literally turned to Connor and I was like, my boyfriend, and I was like, why is his name Paul? Like, is he like from Earth? Is he like a human from Earth, but he's on this like weird planet?
Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
Connor's like, no, just some of the characters have normal names. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
isn't his
mom's name like Jessica or something? Like,
yeah,
it's very
like,
weird.
What the hell? I'm very so already. I don't know what's going on. We'll see. I'm gonna give it the benefit of the doubt. So many people love this book, and maybe I will too.
That would be really cool. I hope that you love it. That would be a really cool thing for you.
I mean, I hope I love it too, because 600 pages of fantasy, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Come on, and guys. It's like super weird fantasy. That's just the thing. It's like very hard to digest and understand.
So yeah, those are the two things I'm reading. But hopefully by next episode, I will have also read A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor, or at least started it.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
That's cool.
What about you? What are you currently reading?
Well, the books I'm reading are, I'm reading two books right now. You know about one of them, and the other one is so random. You'll probably be a little bit like, huh? Also. So firstly, I'll start out with Dig by A.S. King, which I started reading because, as we realized last week, like, oh my god, we've got to read that soon.
That's another reason why I shouldn't be reading Dune right
now. What are you doing?
I knew there was another reason, and I couldn't remember it. And yeah, I don't know what's going on in my brain, but okay. Here I am.
Well, however, I have good news for you. This book is a super quick read. I am already on page 216. Really,
that's great news.
I'm more than halfway through, and I just started it 2 days ago. Like, it's very easy to fly through, yeah. And very intriguing. It's very weird, though, also, as most of A.S. King's books are. I won't talk about it too much, but there's, like, lots of perspectives. There's a little bit of magical realism going on with one of the characters. There's another character that's like, huh, what's going on there? And a lot of the characters don't have actual names, so I'm very intrigued to see why, because some of them do, and some of them don't. So it's very interesting, but they're all easy to keep track of. Like, it's not confusing at all. So, yeah, I'm really liking it so far. I can't wait for you to start reading it, and then I can't wait to discuss it, because it's like, I feel like there's going to be a lot to talk about, even though I don't really know what I'll say yet. But
honestly, I'll probably read it the day before we record.
Yeah, that's on brand. That's what usually happens.
That's what I've done every single time. What were the other ones? Earth Were Briefly Gorgeous and Memory Police. That is what happened.
Oh, well, this will be an easy one for you to fly through. Yeah. Well, the second book, I started an audiobook because I was cross-stitching the other day, and I was like, you know what, I need to just pick a random audiobook, and so I decided to pick one that's actually a book I have on my shelf, because I was like, may as well, you know, try and knock off one of the 121 books that I have on my TBR. That's not including manga either. This is the information that I know because I put everything on Goodreads.
Because of your spreadsheets,
You don't know how many unread books you have, probably, but I know too much information.
I actually do know. It's 400 and something or other. I forget. I have it written down somewhere because I did a video a couple months ago where I had to count all of my books and see what percentage were read and unread.
Oh, interesting.
And I've read 40% of the books I own, which I'm pretty happy with that number, actually.
And now I kind of want to know what my percent is.
Yeah, I found the percent to be the really interesting question, right? Because it's like, who knows how many unread books you have? How many read books versus that? What's that relationship?
Yeah, very interesting. I'll have to do some research, and I use that as my personal news next week.
Yes, please.
If I remember. Well, this other book that I decided to start reading / listening to is Cell by Stephen King.
Okay. Hell yeah, Raylene.
Possibly one of the weirdest Stephen King books and one of the least popular, because it's really bad, apparently, from what I hear. This one, I've only listened to the first, like, 20 to 30 minutes, and basically what this book is about is, for some reason, there's this moment in time where when whoever is talking on a cell phone, there's, like, this pulse that goes out and it turns all those people into crazy zombies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, it's very stressful.
It's like Stephen King trying to do social commentary.
Exactly. He's just like, cell phone, you guys are all terrible. Because, like, the main character is just this guy who's just, you know, standing somewhere, and then he's kind of observing people, and he notices a couple of people on cell phones, and then suddenly both of them start going crazy, and he's like, whoa, what's going on? And it just, like, erupts into chaos. So that's all that I've read so far. So far it's not terrible. Like, it's a fun kind of zombie romp, but it's like a 12-hour long audiobook, really wondering what's gonna go down that's gonna make it so long.
Honestly, once an audiobook is longer than 6 hours, I start to get a little stressed.
Right?
I start to be like, is this something I want to listen to? I don't know.
Yeah, for me, 9 hours and under is kind of the sweet spot. So as soon as it gets longer than that, I'm like, But it's okay. I've decided this is going to be my audiobook just for when I'm cross-stitching. So, because I don't really feel like listening to it in the car. It just feels weird. Fair. So I'll be reading it for a long time probably anyway. So I'll talk about it once I finished it, but it'll probably be a while. Yeah. Well,
before you jump us into book news, I have a book haul to do, Raylene.
Oh my god.
So, as you heard, I've put myself on a July book buying ban, and that is because of this stack in front of me. I have so many books on their way to me. I have 5 books to talk to you about right now, and these are just the latest 5 that have arrived. Yeah. There's more coming, so I gotta calm down a little bit here. The first one, I'll do it pretty quickly here, but the first one I'm really, really excited. This is the one I'm the most excited about from this pile, and it is Founders at Work by Jessica Livingston. So it's kind of an ugly book. It looks like a textbook.
Yeah.
It kind of has textbook font and paper, but I'm really excited about this book. So this is, I'm like, how much do I reveal about my life right now? I mean, I've mentioned that I want to start a business. I think I've mentioned that on the podcast, right? Yeah. I want to start a business. I'm thinking a lot about it. And I was looking, like, what is the best book about new businesses or startup culture or whatever? And this was a book that came up a couple times. And so I was like, you know what? This sounds really, really cool. A lot of people was like, were like, you know what? There isn't a great book about startups. This is the one you should read, because it's not like how to, it's interviews with the founders of a bunch of different important companies. So the author, Jessica Livingston, just had these interviews with all of these people, and she'll occasionally have like a couple of points that she makes. She'll be like, here are some conclusions, but mainly it's just her interviews with these people. And we're talking like PayPal, Hotmail, Apple, Gmail, Flickr, Yahoo, TripAdvisor, you know, and there's a bunch more, like really giant, significant startups that have really shaped the world that we live in online. And it just looks really cool. And I read one, like one of the interviews, and it's really interesting. Huh. It's so interesting and so much fun. The biggest name that I see here that she interviewed is Steve Wozniak of Apple, which is just crazy. So I'm really excited about that one. The next one I got is The Story of My Life by Helen Keller.
Oh, yeah. I thought you ordered that like a long, long time ago.
I really did, but it was from the Book Depository. Oh, right, so, right.
How could I forget? It
finally arrived. This was the book that made me nauseous, everyone. This is a book I picked up at the mailbox today, and I felt all woozy. But yeah, basically a couple of months ago now, I remembered this movie I saw as a kid called The Miracle Worker, which I don't know how accurate it is. I guess I'll find out once I read this book. But it's the story of Helen Keller, and Helen Keller was blind and deaf, and her parents were kind of like getting to this point. This is according to the movie. What do I know? But like this Disney movie, like made for TV movie or whatever. But we used to own it on VHS. Those were the days. Her parents are kind of like, don't know what to do. She doesn't know. They don't know how to communicate with her, etc. And she's like six when the movie happens, and when they get this teacher, Anne Sullivan. So this young teacher who's like in her early 20s comes to try and teach Helen Keller sign language. And it was, I remember it being like this inspirational movie and stuff, and the book is supposed to be amazing. So this is a book that she wrote, because she does go on to like very much read and write and communicate. She became a very prolific writer, so I'm really excited about that.
That's cool.
You and I talked a little bit about how I'm kind of already starting a bit of a pile of like inspirational women, of books, like books about inspirational women. Yeah. So then I got The Great Gatsby graphic novel.
No!
I couldn't believe that you hadn't gotten it yet, because mine arrived and I thought you would like message me.
I like applied to get a free copy, and I guess it just never showed up, so now I have to buy it. I didn't want to buy it because I was expecting a copy to come, but then it never came.
This is the free copy that came for me, though. So Raylene and I were both reached out to by the publisher of this book, so I should really mention it's by Scribner. Scribner published this. It's a graphic novel, The Great Gatsby, illustrated by Aya Morton, and the text adapted by Fred Fordham. And yeah, it's a graphic novel version of The Great Gatsby, and I got an email that was like, do you want this? And I was like, do I ever? I was gonna buy that. So I'm very excited that this arrived. Hopefully I'll read it in the next few weeks, just because I'm really excited about it.
Can you show me the inside really quick?
Yeah, totally.
I want to see how beautiful. Oh wow. Oh, it's beautiful. I love that shot. Okay.
It looks cool, right?
It looks very cool. So I'm gonna have to buy that.
I'm excited about this. Thank you to the publisher for sending it over. And yeah, I'm hyped. I'm hyped because, you know, adaptations are a thing that are happening in graphic novels, it would appear. And I don't know if I'm fully on board with it yet. I read the Animal Farm graphic novel and I absolutely loved it, but do they all need to be made? I don't know. And then I got two books that I did show you a couple days ago, and they are these two. They're There by Tommy Orange and In My Own Moccasins by Helen Knott. These were both sent together from an independent bookshop in Vancouver. So that's why I mentioned them together. So the first one, They're There, you own this one. Have you read this one?
I haven't read it yet. I bought it last time I was out visiting you and we were bookshopping.
Oh, that's why I associate this book with you. So it sounds really cool. I've literally never heard a bad thing about this book. Everyone I know that has read it has absolutely loved it. And the basic concept is that there's 12 characters from native communities all traveling to a powwow. What a cool concept. Mm-hmm. I love it. Like, everyone moving towards this one big central event. And the font looks really big, and it's not long at all. It's only 290 pages. So I'm intrigued. And In My Own Moccasins is a memoir about a young Indigenous woman here in Canada. So I just heard really good things, and it was, like, on their recommended page. I bought these books from Iron Dog Books, which is a bookshop.
The bookmark store. Actually
just fell down. Yeah, Raylene and I apparently went to this bookshop many years ago, and I forgot. But yeah, it's a really cool bookshop that is owned by Indigenous owners, and they had this on their, like, main page of their bookshop, and I was like, heck, I'll give it a shot. And it's a really nice, satisfying feel
little,
to the
right?
book. It's a little book. It's kind of shorter and slimmer than you would think, but it's got, like, really, I don't know what they call this texture of paper, but it almost feels like watercolor paper, you know.
That's nice.
For the cover, it's just really beautiful, so I'm excited to read that too. All right, that's my book haul. I feel like I've talked a lot this episode.
This is the Ariel show. Well,
I didn't mean to.
I recently ordered a bunch of books, so I might have a big book haul next week if I'm lucky. I ordered a bunch of stuff from the Book Depository, but also Indigo. Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know if everything will show up this week, but
mine kind of just came in all at once, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm lucky, we'll have a nice big book haul. Well, all of that being said, it is now time for book news.
I can't believe we're only here.
I know, right? I feel like we should be much farther along.
Well, book news. I have a lot of book news. I'm sorry, Raylene. I don't know what happened.
What do you mean a lot?
You know what? I'll eliminate one, but I at least have two pieces of book news.
Oh my god, okay.
The first one is kind of a joke, but I had to mention it. I was featured in an article.
Oh!
And so I had to mention it. I feel very cringy talking about it, but the article is called 15 Fantastic YouTube Book Reviews for Your Viewing Pleasure.
Wow.
It was written by Giovanna Centeno on Book Riot, so we'll link that in the show notes, but yeah, I don't know. I was mentioned in it, and I thought it was very cute and very friendly. I'll read you my little tiny paragraph. Ariel Bisset is one of the most expansive creators on BookTube. I don't really know what that means, but I'll take it. With a channel that has evolved from your traditional YouTube book reviews and hauls to a documentary miniseries on bookstores and music and book combo reviews, her videos are well thought out and researched, and it definitely shows her range and creativity.
Ooh.
So I'm Book News this week, and yeah, I gotta put that, like, on my website or something.
Yeah, that's great.
And then the other piece of news is a book announcement, I guess. It's like a book came out today on July 7th, and I only just heard of it. But I wanted to mention it because it's a pandemic book.
Oh.
It's called Survivor Song by Paul Tremblay. Have you heard of this book?
No, but I've heard of the author.
Yeah, so Paul Tremblay wrote that book, that 10 Cabin in the Woods. It's not Cabin in the Woods. What the heck is the name of that book? Why is the number 10
Cabin
really
at the End of the World? Oh, I actually have one of his books, A Head Full of Ghosts. I haven't read it yet.
Okay, yes. The big one that he's written is the one you just mentioned, The Cabin at the End of the World.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, A Head Full of Ghosts, it seems to be more popular.
Yeah, that was...
Why did I really think of the number 10? I don't know what that was, but there's something there.
Maybe you're thinking The Woman in Cabin 10, because you said cabin.
That's exactly the one I'm thinking
That's
of.
What it is, for
Thank
sure.
Thank you, really.
You're welcome. I have extensive book knowledge.
So that book, I really know nothing about the, like, thriller, horror, crime world.
That's true.
I'm horribly versed in it. But I was just excited that this author wrote a new pandemic book, and I'm sort of like, oh, should I get it?
Mm-hmm.
So it says, here's the quick synopsis. In a matter of weeks, Massachusetts has been overrun by an insidious rabies-like virus that is spread by saliva. But unlike rabies, the disease has a terrifyingly short incubation period of an hour or less. Those infected quickly lose their minds and are driven to bite and infect as many others as they can before they inevitably succumb. Hospitals are inundated with the sick and dying, and hysteria has taken hold. To try and limit its spread, the Commonwealth is under quarantine and curfew. the Commonwealth. Is this guy British or is he a Canadian? Okay, I'm going to do some more research, apparently. But society is breaking down and the government's emergency protocols are faltering. And then it talks about a couple different characters that, you know, are trying to survive in this crazy time. Mm-hmm. But what's obviously funny is, like, he wrote it. It was apparently finished October 2019. So before we ever heard about COVID and everything.
Yeah.
And he had the idea for it long ago. So it wasn't because of COVID, but it has come out during COVID.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. So, yeah, if anyone wants to check that out, it's called Survivor Song. And the other reason that I wanted to mention this book is because I met this author, and he was very nice.
I feel like you've told us that before because Kayla mentioned one of his, the Cabin book, when we had her on.
Yeah, that's exactly. So he was on a panel that I moderated, and he was really, really friendly. And I'm just like, you know what? Nice authors deserve help. And so Survivor Song, ladies and gentlemen.
Paul out.
Get it now.
Love it.
All right, what is your book news, Raylene?
Okay, well, I actually have two pieces of book news now because I thought you were going to mention one thing and you didn't, so I'm going to give it a shout out also. So my first piece of book news is something that Terry Pratchett fans will be very excited about. So as most people probably know, Terry Pratchett is or was a very prolific fantasy author. He passed away a few years ago, and so that obviously sucks, and a lot of people have been, you know, wanting to get more books from him, and now that they can't is like the worst thing ever because his fans are like very dedicated. One of my friends is obsessed with Terry Pratchett, and so she like there he has like I don't know 50 books or something out in the Discworld series, and she's been reading it since like they came out, but she's been saving them. Like she only reads one like every year because she doesn't want to run out. So now they are releasing a collection of stories that apparently he wrote back in the 60s and 70s. So it's some of the earliest of his writings. And they're now putting it in all the ones that were never published into a book. And it's actually like children's stories, because that's, I guess, what he wrote a lot of back then. So it's a book that's good for kids, good for adults. And that's basically all I've got. It's called The Time Traveling Caveman.
Cool.
And
that's
really
cool. I love that.
Yeah, because I feel like that's such a great thing, you know. If you have an author that you love so much and then suddenly you're not going to get any more of their books, it's like really exciting to find out that you do, because obviously a lot of authors probably have lots of projects ongoing that don't get published and all that stuff. So it's cool, but it's just funny that these ones are so old and they never got released, but now it's like, this is our chance.
It's really interesting. I honestly, I do think it's pretty controversial. I don't think that it's bad. Yeah. I personally think it's fine, but I do know that some people are kind of like, you shouldn't publish stuff.
Yeah, cause maybe there was a reason. Dead. Maybe there was a reason he didn't want those released.
Exactly.
That's true.
Like maybe he liked them but didn't love them, or maybe felt that they weren't part of the work he wanted released into the world. And I think about this like very often. Mm. I think the biggest kind of moment we all had where we talked about it was with the Harper Lee Go Set a Watchmen book, which was so controversial.
Yeah.
It was so juicy. a real proper literary scandal, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But that moment was really interesting because, like, obviously Harper Lee had passed away. She had only ever published one book. Clearly, she didn't want other stuff published because she could have published anything and any publisher would have been like, yes, please let us publish the only second book you've ever published. But clearly she didn't. And then suddenly she dies and her sister publishes it. Or was it her sister or her assistant?
Remember.
I forget. But somebody publishes it. It's like, that's pretty sketchy, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's like she obviously didn't want it released for whatever reason.
It's pretty obvious to me that she didn't want it released.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the person is dead. Like, it doesn't really matter. I personally think, go for it. Publish it. Like, it's okay. But I can, I don't know.
But at the same time, it tarnished her perfect record of having one amazing
book. Yeah. No, I agree. I actually, in the case of Harper Lee, I don't think that book should have been published. I think it was really irresponsible and very, very greedy of the publisher. Like, it's just like a publisher being like, well, this will sell. And I'm like, but should it sell, sir?
Yeah. Think about
it, you've forgotten the more important question.
Yeah.
But also, like, with journals and diaries and stuff, I'm like, is that a thing that should be published? Because we have journals and diaries of so many people, like Kurt Cobain and Frida Kahlo. And it's like, I don't want anyone to publish my diary, but... And I'm not saying that I'm famous enough that would happen, but I just mean, like, you know, you write a diary in private for a reason.
It's
and
true.
Then we just
like,
publish
they
it and
should
buy
only
it.
Be able to do it if you, like, have some kind of written permission, like...
Yeah.
You
obviously,
can
that would be
this
totally
if I
fine.
Die.
If someone was like, hey, if I die, publish whatever you find, my friends.
Yeah, anything.
But like, I don't know. It's very posthumous publication.
Yeah.
Is very interesting to me. I know there was this book called The Opposite of Loneliness. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, I read that book.
Yeah, I also read that book. And
oh yeah, we read it together, didn't we?
Did we?
I remember. Shit. I wrote notes in it because we were voxering back and forth. We totally read that together. I just remembered that was 5 years ago.
Really funny. That was a really long time ago. Yeah. But with that, that's so fun. I was like, have you read it? Yeah, I have.
We literally read it together.
But with that book, obviously, also, she wanted to be an author. She wanted to be a writer. And then this young woman who had just graduated from Yale, I think it was Yale, Harvard? I really think it was Yale for some reason. She died in a car accident a week after her graduation or before her graduation. And so then, you know, her family decided to publish her stuff. And I'm like, obviously she wanted to be a writer, but maybe she didn't feel ready to be those to be the stories that were published.
Yeah, like stories and essays. Some of them are personal essays too.
Exactly. So I don't know. It's interesting. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I just think
it is an interesting discussion though. I haven't really thought about it too much until this very moment.
Well, speaking of interesting discussions, what's your next piece of book news here, Raylene?
Yes, my second piece of book news is currently a hot topic. So it was just announced a few days ago that Eleanor and Park is being made into a movie. Yes. Everyone was very excited. Until.
Yes. Until they weren't.
Until they suddenly weren't. So just let the record show. I have read Eleanor and Park. I read it right when it came out. That was, 2013? I loved it so much.
Old.
Yeah, I am so old. It's true.
I'm in the exact same boat as you. I read it right when it came out, probably 2013, 2014. And I also loved it very much at the time.
Exactly. I loved it. And like I mentioned, I can't remember if it was on the bonus podcast or on here. I was like, I wonder if I were to reread Eleanor and Park, if I would still love it. Like, we were just reminiscing about old favorites. And now I'm thinking that even more, because the controversy around this book is that the representation, the mixed race representation of Park, who is half Korean, is very racist, is what everyone is saying. And right. I can't really speak to it too much because, like I said, it's been a long time since I read the book, but I have seen people posting quotes and screenshots. And I'm like, yes. Out of context, that is a very strange way to word certain things regarding his race, and I don't know. So I don't really know how to feel about it. I want to be excited about the movie because I have such fond memories of the book, but I just don't. I don't know what to feel right now.
Yeah, I agree. This is a very interesting moment. I actually was going to have this as my book news, and I was like, I want to be very sensitive around it, because obviously neither you nor I are Korean.
Yep.
So, obviously, I do want to first prioritize the voice of Korean people. However, let me think about this, because I am a mixed race person. Ow, ow! Don't get to pull that out very often, but here she is, ladies and gentlemen. Mixed race. I am half brown, half white, half Hispanic, Latino. I don't know. A lot of people get really angry at me. They're like, it's so funny. I'm sorry, really, to go on a tangent, but people will, like, I will in a video be like, I'm mixed race, I'm half Latina, half white, and people will get so pissed off at me. And they'll be like, "How? It's really inappropriate for you to call yourself Latino. You should just say brown, or you should just say Hispanic." And I'm like, let me just say what I want to say.
I'm pretty sure you're allowed to pick.
I'm like, let me pick and let me say what I want to say. Regardless, whatever one you want to say. My mom is brown and she's from Honduras. So I am a mixed race person. And when I read Eleanor and Park, I'm not mixed Korean, but I am mixed race. So when I read Eleanor and Park, I actually thought it was really great mixed race representation. And it's so interesting because a lot of the response I've seen, and the response isn't new, this pushback to Eleanor and Park has been around for many years. The response that I've seen to Park's character, a lot of it I disagree with on the mixed race basis. People like talking about how he doesn't feel like he's fully Korean. Like someone who was Korean wouldn't have these things or wouldn't do these things. And I'm like, but he's not Korean. He's half Korean, right? And so when I think about my experience being Latina, I'm like, I'm not Latina. I'm half Latina. And that's a completely different than being Latina.
Do you know what I mean? A distinction, yeah.
There is an important distinction, and especially because Park wasn't raised in Korea. I think he was born in America, but like I said, it's been like so long since I read the book. But he has been raised in the States. And so again, as a Latina person who was completely raised in Canada, except for 1 year when I lived in Honduras when I was 18, but you know, I was born and raised in Canada, I have a lot more in common with Canadian culture, Canadian custom, and Canadian language than I do with Honduran culture, language, or etc. And so when I read Eleanor and Park, I was like, wow, yeah, this kid is totally, of course he's Korean, he's half Korean, his mom is Korean, and he has some parts of him that are Korean. And I was like, but he's also like pretty whitewashed because he's been raised in the States. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm just like that too. Like, I think about things more from a white Anglo-Saxon Canadian perspective than I do from a Honduran perspective, because this is where I was raised, right? So I remember reading that and thinking, wow, this is really great, interesting mixed race representation. And then I heard all of this feedback, and I've been literally railing. I have been thinking about making a video about Eleanor and Park for like 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't, because I'm not Korean. So I can't speak to that part of it. And I don't want to like say something that like hurts the Korean community, when that's obviously not my intention. So I don't know. I think it's really, really interesting. I think there is an important difference between being half Korean and being full Korean, or whatever that is. Like, for me, I would never say that I've lived the same experience as someone who's Latino. Like, that would be crazy. Yeah. Right? I'm half Latino and raised, like, and the official word is the diaspora, right? Like, I was raised outside of that culture. So, I don't know. I just think it's a very interesting conversation. And I think the thing that I am a little bit upset about is people being like, this movie shouldn't be made. And I'm like, I'm very confused by that, because she isn't a Korean director. I just looked this up.
Yeah, I know. I heard that too.
She's Japanese. But she is an Asian director in a sphere where Asian female directors are not getting big opportunities like this. So yeah, I actually see this as a really exciting thing and an opportunity to right some wrongs.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, because it's like, because there are some lines in the book that are racist or, you know, can be viewed as offensive. Yeah. And those just don't have to be in the movie. You know,
that's the thing. We have an opportunity, you know, whether you like it or not, Eleanor and Park has been so successful. And like, I could absolutely see the argument, like, we should be choosing a story that doesn't have any racist or controversial lines in it. Like, there are Korean books that don't have any racist ideas in them. And I'm like, I feel kind of weird saying racist, because I haven't reread the book in a long time, and I haven't like spoken to some Korean people to say it's like racist, and maybe just offensive might be a better word for it. But regardless, maybe some people would argue, you know, like, let's not make this one into a movie. Let's make a book that doesn't have offensive ideas into a movie. And I'm like, but that's not how Hollywood works. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Hollywood picks the biggest books and then makes those into movies. And it happens to be Eleanor and Park, right? So I'm like, this actually, to me, seems like a really great moment to make this movie into something that doesn't have those moments. And especially because it's going to be an Asian director who was born over there. She happened to be born in Japan, but born in Asia.
Yeah.
I'm sort of like, well, this seems like they're going to do a good job casting it too, probably, right? Yeah, if they're already caring this much about the director, then hopefully they'll care this much about the cast and the script and everything. So maybe it's an opportunity to make those things better.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Gosh. An interesting discussion. I'm sure I'm going to get canceled, but it's fine.
It happens to the best of us, okay?
I am not trying to speak for Korean people. I'm trying to speak for mixed people, a group that gets oft ignored. All right, let's move into our recommendations.
Good plan. Let's start with mine. We have three recommendations this week because, as you'll soon understand, Laurel sent us two separate ones because she knows that we have different tastes. So The first one from Laurel goes like this. I absolutely love Death Note, and the only other manga I've read, The Kurosaki Corpse Delivery Service, never heard of it, was great too.
That's funny.
I'm like, maybe I should look that up. However, I went into a comic book slash graphic novel store and asked the employee for a recommendation similar to Death Note, and he suggested Monstrous, which was very, very much not for me. I love Death Note for its interesting take on right and wrong, good and evil, and the wonderful dynamics between the characters. I also love the humorous element Ryuk brought to the table. Any recommendations for manga or other graphic novels that might have some of the same...
Raylene had to scroll down a little bit.
I had to scroll up. Elements. Same elements. I could have just made that up and it would have been fun.
One more word. That's so funny.
Oh, what a fail. So, okay.
Have you read Monstrous?
No. Listen. Actually, this is a fun story because I had heard so much about Monstrous a few years ago. I took it out from the library and started reading it. And within 20 pages was like, I don't like that. I did not read Monstrous.
So you agree with Laurel.
Exactly. I feel like Laurel and I are like on the same page here. So I have come up with a manga series that I read, as well as an anime I watched recently that I haven't read, but I feel like Laurel will love. So firstly, the manga that I am going to recommend is called Monster... This is just a coincidence. It's called Monster.
The way Raylene looked at me was like, eyes wide. Is it clear that that's not Monstrous?
So Monster is this manga series by Naoki Urasawa, and he has a lot of manga out there. He's a pretty prolific manga author also. And the Monster series is, I guess it's probably 18 volumes, but I read it in the 2-in-1 volume, so they have these nice deluxe volumes that you can get. And what's really cool about this manga, actually, is that it takes place in Germany. It's about this doctor who's from Japan, and he's working in Germany in a hospital. And there's this kid, or two kids come in, basically they're twins, and one of them is super in the critical condition, like he could die at any moment, he's been shot. And the doctor immediately jumps in and, you know, does what he can to save the kid, and he ends up saving him. And then what happens is, a few years later, when he's older, the doctor bumps into this guy again, the kid that he saved, and it turns out that the kid has become a serial killer. So,
great.
So there's this whole moral dilemma of, like, should I have saved him? Did I do the wrong thing? And also,
that sounds exactly like what Laurel wants.
Yeah! So I feel like this is a manga that people often read after reading Death Note. It's very highly recommended to fans of Death Note. But it sounds like Laurel hasn't read much manga yet, so this is perfect. I've been wanting to recommend Monster and just been waiting for the right moment. So, yes, I highly, highly recommend this. It's a game of cat and mouse, just like Death Note, because the serial killer kid, you know, is always trying to mess with the doctor and try and take him down, and the doctor kind of goes down a dark path, and it's like really, really interesting and a really cool series. So highly recommend that. My second recommendation is, it also is a manga, but I've only seen the anime so far, and it's called The Promised Neverland. I forgot what it was called for a second. It's called The Promised Neverland, and it's about a bunch of kids who live in this orphanage, and they're all between the ages of like 5 and 11. And it seems like a really light, cute type of anime or manga when you just look at pictures of it, but it is super, super dark.
Of course.
You find out within the first episode, if you just want to watch the anime, Laurel, the first episode is so crazy. Once you find out, like, what is going on, it's, like, so stressful. It also has a supernatural aspect, so that kind of ties back into Death Note and the things that you liked about it. It's got some things. I'm not going to say anything specific because it's really interesting to find out for yourself. But yeah, I really, really recommend that. I have two of the books actually that I purchased that are coming from me are the first two volumes of that manga. So spoiler alert, I'm really excited to get that manga because there's 12 episodes, I think, of the manga or the anime so far. And Kyle and I watched it in like 2 days. It's really addicting, and it's got really smart kids. That's the other thing I like about it is the main characters are 11.
I like that you pointed that out because usually kids are really fucking stupid in movies and it drives me crazy.
It's true. But yeah, no, the three main characters in this anime are like the top three in their class type of students. They're all 11, and they're so smart. Like, they're basically like Light from Death Note. Like, all three of them are like Light, like super high intelligence, are able to kind of trick people and like maneuver around adults and be smarter than other people. Like, it's very, very fascinating. So I feel like it's perfect for people who love Death Note because it's twisted and fast-paced and very interesting. So,
gosh.
Yeah.
So that's, those are all my recommendations for that. But what are you recommending to Laurel?
Well, as you pointed out, Laurel sent me a separate one. Mm-hmm. I feel like we both had homework assignments here. She wrote, "Hello, I am a poet, and poetry is my favorite genre to read. I have an okay pulse on newer releases and books by some of the more well-known poets. Think Ada Limon, Kaveh Akbar. Those are both people I've never heard of, so I hope I didn't mess up the pronunciation. But I'd be curious to know if there are other collections out there either of you really enjoy that aren't as popular or well-known. What does FWIW mean?
I have no goddamn clue.
That's how everyone can know we're down with the kids. FWIW, Google tells me, oh, it means for what it's worth. Gosh.
Oh.
For what? Wow, these kids are really advanced these days.
Jesus.
We used to just say BRB.
I know. BTW.
For what it's worth, I am very much not into the Instagram poetry style. No shade. I just know based on my own experience, it's not my thing. And I definitely prefer modern poetry, with a few exceptions. So... I was excited because Raylene picked that we both do this one, that she do the manga and I do the poetry one, and I got really excited. But because Laurel kind of wanted an emphasis on newer poetry, uh-huh. I got a little stressed out because I realized I don't have that many newer authors. And what's sad is that I own a lot of collections by newer authors, or by modern writers, but I just haven't read them yet. I haven't been reading very much poetry lately, which makes me a little sad, if I'm being very honest to you all. But I picked out three, regardless. Here I am. And I thought it'd be fun to read a poem from each one. Because I was like, that's the best way to explain poetry.
Totally.
How do you explain the point of a poem? I don't know. So other than read it. So the first one I want to recommend, I think I might have recommended some of these in past episodes. I just cannot recall. The first one I really want to recommend is Blue Horses, this collection by Mary Oliver. So Mary Oliver is not... and she just passed away, so she's not like a modern currently writing poet, but just based on what Laurel has said here, I really think that she would get on with Mary Oliver, because she says she enjoys modern poetry, and I'm like, yeah, it's not modern, but it reads really well. I love so many of these poems. I didn't know which one to pick, so I'm just gonna pick this one, but they're all really, really good. So if I wanted a boat, I would want a boat. If I wanted a boat that bounded hard on the waves, that didn't know starboard from port, and wouldn't learn, that welcomed dolphins and headed straight for the whales, that, when rocks were close, would slide in for a touch or two, that wouldn't keep land in sight and went fast, that leaped into the spray. What kind of life is it always to plan and do, to promise and finish, to wish for the near and the safe? Yes, by the heavens, if I wanted a boat, I would want a boat I couldn't steer. What do you think of that poem, Raylene?
That was cool.
I know you don't really like poetry, so I knew this was a risky move on the podcast, but I'm doing it anyway. All right, this next book that I recommend, I know I've recommended on this podcast, but I'm scared Laurel hasn't read it, and she has to. So the collection is called Dear Boy. It's by Emily Berry. This is totally a contemporary poet. She's publishing as we speak. I don't know. So this collection, I don't know when this collection came out. It came out a few years ago, and I absolutely love it. It came out in 2013, and it's got one of my favorite poems of all time in it. So this poem is called Letter to Husband. Dearest husband, beloved husband, most respected, missed, and righteous husband, dear treasured, absent husband, dear unimaginable piece of husband, dear husband of the moon, it has been 6 months since I... Dear much lamented, distant husband, my champing heart forgives you. Please come. In a long undergrowth of wanting, I creep. At night, the sea is a dark room. I called and called. These white corridors are not free from longing. Dear postman, dear nighttime, dear dark mouth hovering over me, dear knee bones, dear palms, dear faithful body, I have wants. Husband, speech is a dark stain, spreading. I have no telephone. No one will give me a telephone. I lost your voice in dark places. It is written over and over that, please come. A scribble is the way a heartbeat is told. Dearest serrated husband, my heart scribbles your name. My mouth scribbles. I have cried your name in every possible color. I have given you my proud, desperate, undeviating wish over and over and over. Sweetheart, please come. Aw, I love that poem. That's such a great poem. So this is a collection about a long-distance relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And so she is missing her husband, her partner, and not every poem is about a long-distance relationship, but yeah, that one is, and I really love that. And when I read it, I was in a long-distance relationship, and man, did it hit me hard.
I bet.
Yeah, it was good. It's really, really good. Okay, and then the last collection I wanted to mention is Graffiti by Savannah Brown. So I totally agree with Laurel. I'm also not really into Instagram poetry. I'm very fascinated by the phenomenon of Instagram poetry. That's kind of the irony. I'm like so for it. I'm the biggest like hardcore advocate for Instagram poetry, but most of the Instagram poetry I read, I'm like, I don't really like this.
Yeah.
but I really like the concept. I just like that anyone can publish poetry on Instagram, I think is the thing I'm most excited about. But it is a little sad to think that Laurel, I don't know. I don't know why I just assume that Laurel's kind of young, you know, she's just younger. It's sad to me that she can't find contemporary poets maybe like are her age-ish because she doesn't think that she'll like Instagram poetry. So this is Savannah Brown is a YouTuber, but I wouldn't describe her as a YouTuber really. I kind of feel like that's not true. She was a YouTuber and she still makes YouTube videos from time to time, but she's definitely a writer by trade and by heart. So this is her first collection. I hope she doesn't, I know she doesn't listen to this podcast, but she is a friend of mine. I hope she doesn't mind me reading out a poem. You should go check out her YouTube channel, though, because she has shared some of her poetry on there, and it's really, really good. She's very good at performing her poetry. I don't remember which poem was my favorite, because I read this so long ago. Like, I'm flipping through it, and I'm like, which one do I want to read? I don't know. I'll just read this one. I dog-eared it. Who knows? Maybe it's great. It's called Hum. Oh, did you hear that satisfying spine crack?
Yeah, that hurt me a little bit.
Sorry.
She just cracked a hardcover spine. How do you do that?
I did. All right, this is Hum. In the seemingly minuscule moments before I met you, and in the eternity seconds after, even more so, it was made apparent by a part of me I didn't know had a consciousness, didn't know could shout so primally or in those notes so high and low, I think it's howling, that I would do everything in my power to make you hum. You would know every spot I had been because they would be marked in yellow and purple and blue, paint you silver and gold, thin red rivers stretching down, freckled muscle. I decided in that heartbeat that you would never whimper again in the presence of anyone except me. Desperation is not an emotion I grapple with often, so when I do, I tend to not forget it. You have been branded into my scalp. I could write only so much poetry about how I want you to beg for me. Hey, I do like that one still. Thank God.
What a relief.
This collection also has these really great illustrations that are done by Ed Stockham. So I really like this collection. She is a contemporary writer. And if you go to her Instagram, you can see that she has a new collection coming out in October.
Oh, cool.
That has this outstanding cover. It's so beautiful. So I really recommend you check her out. It's funny too because she shared more of her poetry since, and I can just see that her poetry is getting better and better as she gets older. And she's talked a lot about how like embarrassed she is by a lot of the poems in here. So those are my three. I hope that people were okay with me reading the poems out loud. I don't know, I just went for it, really, and I thought, heck, what's the way to share
it's our podcast. You need to put your foot down.
Well, we have one more recommendation. It's the one I picked. We're going to do it together. Yep. This is from Eloise. By the way, Eloise, I'm obsessed with your name. What a beautiful name. I want to change my name to Eloise now. So Eloise says, I miss life before COVID.
Don't we all?
Wow, what a statement. Hell yeah, me too. Okay. I miss life before COVID, and I miss pottering, meandering, getting coffee, etc. I'd love a book that just lets you experience someone else's normal life for a bit. No huge plot, but really great characters. Maybe something similar to Normal People, but like not even that dramatic. Adult fiction, please. P.S. This podcast has been getting me through lockdown. Thank you so much. Well, that's nice. Thank you so much, Eloise, for your message. I hope we can recommend you a book that fits this. Raylene, what did you pick?
Okay, I picked two books because I feel like they both work really well, and they both are books that I feel like, if you read one, you'll have to enjoy the other because they're very similar. Hmm. The first one, I also talked about both of them already. A Man Called Uwe by Frederick Bachmann.
Oh, yeah.
This book is, as soon as I heard pottering, I was like, yes, I have to recommend this book. It's about an old man and he potters around all the time and he just lives a very quiet existence. So I feel like it's the perfect book for Eloise. for those who don't know, it's basically about this grumpy Swedish man named Uva. he lives by himself. His wife has passed away, so he lives all alone. He's very sad and lonely. And this lively family moves in next door, knocks over his mailbox, and makes him very angry.
Oh no!
They knock it over with their moving truck, and he's like, I hate these people. But then throughout the story, you know, he starts to open up, and he starts to talk with the family and like enjoy the presence of the young children, and there's this cat that's involved with the book too, so it's all great. So he kind of, you know, grows and changes over the book, but plot wise it's like, I don't really remember what happened. I just remember how the character made me feel and all that kind of stuff, which is the point of this, I think. It's less about what happens and more about how he changes you. And yeah, so I really love this. He's a super lovable character, even though he's very hateable at the beginning of the book. And that made me think of another book that I wanted to recommend, which I've also already talked about. Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman. This book has very similar vibes to A Man Called Uva because the main character is very unlikable. You get the vibe from her that she's got, you know, social issues. Like, she doesn't really know how to talk to people in a proper way. And so she's very off-putting and feels distant from everyone. But yeah, basically she also lives alone and she is involved in, not really involved in an incident, but there's this old man who like falls off his bike or something, and she helps him kind of get to the hospital and make his way home. And she does it with one of her coworkers who she doesn't really talk to very much. And then they kind of make a friendship based on that because they were there at the same time. And so she kind of just, you know, gets a friend, which she never had before, kind of thing. She's a very strange person. And so it's just about her kind of learning how to have a friend and coming to terms with her dark past. She kind of has some dark past and issues that she has to deal with. And throughout the book, she does. And they kind of come out. So it's, yeah, another one that's not very plot heavy. It's kind of just about a woman living her life and just about the journey she goes through. And, you know, you get to know her as a character and see how she changes. So yeah, I highly recommend both of those. I feel like I don't read a lot of books that are not plot-based, so these were kind of the best I had. So I hope that Eloise hasn't read at least one of them.
I feel you. I think I'd probably read more plotless books than you.
Yeah, I knew this was going to be an easy one for you.
Yeah, I actually didn't know which one to pick. I was like, I have a lot of options. But the one I decided to go with is one that I recently read.
Oh, okay.
But I just thought it was the perfect one. Like, perfect. And I know that Eloise asked for adult fiction. This is adult fiction, but it's a graphic novel. Eloise, please give it a shot. So the book is Killing and Dying by Adrienne Tomein. You'll recall I just read this a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Or months ago? What is time? I don't know. So this is a collection of stories. I don't remember how many stories. How many stories is it? Hold on. Five?
I want to say like it's five.
Six? It's six stories. It's six stories, everyone? My bad. So this is a collection of six stories. And I cannot emphasize enough how much the tone Eloise is asking for is the tone here. Just, it is six stories of six random different people not really having a plot, just kind of living a moment. It's so, and you know the word is slice of life. It's so slice of life, or not word, phrase. It is these six different people. One of them is a young woman who wants to be a stand-up comedian. One of them is a woman who starts getting recognized because she looks just like a porn star. One of them is a woman who's in an abusive relationship. One of them is, I'm trying to remember, my favorite one is this guy who really believes in this new art form he's developing called hortus sculpture. And it's like, he's a gardener and he's trying to make like this. These statues, and they're really hideous. And I guess there's one more that I forgot. Oh, one of them is this Japanese family who's fallen apart. As they move, like, across, like, from Japan to the States, or the other way around. And so, yeah, so it's these six just slice-of-life moments. It's very calm, quiet, collected, very muted, in that way that it's just sort of, like, these six people, having a moment. It's not a very exciting moment. It's not a very stressful moment.
Yeah.
Except for maybe the one about the woman who's in an abusive relationship. It's kind of like a very controlling relationship. But like, other than that one story, very calm. But you just learn so much about these characters, and you look at them just kind of walking around. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I really recommend it. I think it's a really excellent collection. It's published by Faber and Faber, and they've just done such a beautiful job with the packaging too. So super recommend this book, and I hope that you enjoy. Killing and Dying, it's not a very exciting, like, happy, cheerful name here for someone who misses life before COVID, but it's not that stressful. One of the stories is called Killing and Dying. That's why it's called
that. Oh, I see.
It's not as stressful as everyone dying. Yeah, so that's it.
Yeah.
We did it, really. This was a longer episode, but you know what? That's fine, because I love this podcast.
We don't want to stop talking to each other.
I think it's our therapy, sort of. We just come here and we just let it all out.
Seriously. Well, thanks to all of you for listening. As always, thank you to our patrons for supporting us over on Patreon. Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, this has been Books Unbound with your hosts, me, Raylene, and Ariel. This episode was edited by CJ Bissett, and we're off to go record Books Unbucket. And this episode is going to be super fun, because I'm asking the question, and the question that I
didn't come prepared. I didn't have a question.
She wasn't prepared, and luckily I have a couple that I wrote down a long time ago. But the question I'm going to be asking Ariel today is, what was the first adult book you remember reading? And how old
were
you?
Oh my gosh.
Yes. This is something that I thought was very interesting, and I'm going to ask you that question in approximately 30 seconds over on Books on Bucket. So thank you so much to everyone for listening. And we're off to go record that now. So we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.